I'm going to give you what the Lord has given me. I was in Nashville last night. No, I wasn't down there performing or trying to win an award or nothing, but we were down there, took a load of band kids down there to perform. And while I was there, I was observing what was going on. And a lot of people just living day by day with no concern of eternity. And they had one of these things that they rode, and they would pump. It was like a bicycle, and it was like a picnic table. And they sat around it, and they pumped it like a bicycle. And one guy was at the front of the picnic table driving, and all the way that thing would go was they was pumping that bicycle. And that don't sound too bad, but they was all drinking. And it was called the party wagon. And it disgusted me to see it. And they were riding up and down the streets of Nashville, hollering and hooping. And every time somebody would holler at them, they'd take a big drink and hoop back and do all that. And to them, they were having a wonderful time. And that's what the devil will do. He'll paint you a picture that'll seem wonderful, and he'll get you on a party wagon to hell. I'm going to preach a message about that one of these days, about a party wagon to hell. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to be on the Lord's wagon, amen? And I'll tell you, one day after a while, we're going to move off into a city, and we're going to have a party that'll never end, amen? We won't be drinking from the devil's brew, but we'll be drinking from the Lord's fountain. It'll be a wonderful time when we get there. And even when I saw them fellas and thought how disgusting that was, I couldn't help but the preacher within me wanting to preach on the street. But I began to pray for those men. I got to thinking about all the children that was connected to all of those men. I got to thinking about all the wives that were connected to those men. I said, God, help those men that they would honor you and think about their life. Think about eternity and get right before it's everlasting too late. Boy, I tell you what, church, we need to get on fire for God in these last days. If you don't think we're in the last days, you've got your eyes shut. We are in the last moments of time, and God's fixing to call us out of here. I love him today. Why? Because he first loved all of us. Amen. He loved us when we were when we was on a party wagon one day. He loved us when we were there. Amen. And we need to be a witness to those folks like that. We don't need to. They already feel bad enough. They may seem like they're happy, but in their hearts, they know. Bible says even creation itself teaches that there's a God. And every time I see one of them turning up a can and pouring that old junk down their throat, I said, Lord, I pray that every drink they take will sour in their belly and they'll have to think about you. Amen. That's the way I pray. I'd rather see them get sick and think about him than get sick and want another drink, you know what I mean? They ain't nothing good ever come out of a can or a bottle. They'll say there's spirits in there. You better believe there's spirits in it. There's demons and evil spirits, and there's nothing good that'll come out of a beer can or a beer bottle. Can I get a witness? I may just preach on that this morning. I'll tell you what, we don't need the devil's drink. We need God's drink this morning. What fountain are you drinking from? We need to be drinking from the living fountain, amen, that flows from the master's throne, amen. Wouldn't that be good? Well, you can get a drink today. It's flowing all through here. It's flowing this morning. This altar is open. You can come at any time and get right with him before it's eternally too late. Now, the sun's a shining. I'm talking about the S-O-N. It's shining. It's shining out there, and it's shining in here. You might want to think about that before you leave today. This could be the very last service you'll ever attend. Amen? Where do you stand if you was to meet God? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where we're going to be in the Word of God today. I've been listening to some Billy Graham messages this week. Boy, what a blessing that's been. Down in Madison Square Garden, all those people look like a sea of people. Black and white message, back in them old days. I loved it. It was a blessing to me, and it pricked my heart. I was already had a thought, and after listening to some of those messages, it even got me more excited, thinking about what God can do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. I want to read you one verse. Here we see that this is Paul preaching and teaching to the Corinthians here. I want you to listen to verse 2, what he says to them. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think that went right over your head. Listen to that this morning. Paul said, I'm talking about a theologian that helped bring this to pass, wrote many of these books, been through 10 times more than me and you could ever go through in our life. Listen to what he had to say. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Heavenly Fathers, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I can't preach this morning, but I know that you can send the preacher. And I pray that you'll speak through these stammering lips. God, that your word will go out this morning. For that one that's here that's lost, God, today would be the day. This Christmas season, Lord, they'll come and accept you as their Lord and Savior. God, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. In this world today, we're surrounded by symbolism. People are drawn to symbols everywhere. Whether it be your favorite automobile, your school or college team, a designer clothing, a race team, or something like that, we're drawn to symbolism. And there's nothing wrong with symbolism as long as it's done the right way. But do you know a lot of times symbolism can separate us from the will of God? We'll get so caught up in symbolism that we'll think more of that than we'll think about the will of God that's in our life. But there's one thing that I'm happy to tell you today, that Christians all over the world, whatever denomination they are, Protestants or Catholics or any of these, agree on. They have one symbol that they can agree on today, and it's the cross. No matter what denomination, we have a symbol that we stand by, and it's the cross. No matter when you drive down the road and you see a cross, what comes to your mind but Jesus and the price that's been paid? That's what comes to my mind. No matter if it's a Catholic church, a Presbyterian church, a holiness church, a church of God, a Methodist, it doesn't matter. When I see the cross, it reminds me of what's been done in my life. What about you? Maybe you're here this morning, you're lost without God, and you know you're lost, and everybody around you knows you're lost. But when you see the cross, there's something that reminds you that there's something lacking in your life. I'm glad I've been to the cross, amen, of Calvary. I've met a man that changed my life for all eternity. So today I want to preach on the symbol of the cross. Be the help of the Lord. In Galatians 6:14, the Bible says, but God forbid, here Paul's talking again to the Galatians. He said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Today, as I stand before you as a man of God, I've been saved many, many years. I've done a lot of things for the cause of Christ, but I have nothing to glory in except for the cross of the Calvary. Amen. That's all I can glory in today. It's made me who I am today. What you are today is because of the cross of Calvary. If it had not been for the cross, you and I'd be lost this morning, doomed for a devil's hell. But I'm glad for a solid, a wonderful, present, omnipresent Savior that died on the cross of Calvary and made a way for you and I that we wouldn't have to go to this awful place that is called hell. Amen. Thinking about what the symbol of the cross means to those that are lost. I'm going to tell you this morning a few thoughts that I got to thinking about to those that are lost. Number one, it reminds them in John 3:17 when he said, for God so loved the world
that God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Now you that are lost, you know for a fact that God sent His Son. He sent Him just for you. Let's forget everybody else for a moment. Let's talk about you for just a moment. For God sent His Son into the world for you, not to condemn you, but that the world through Him, and you through Him, might be saved. That's what He's talking about. The Scripture says there that He talks about the world, but let's talk about you for just a moment. He's talking about this for you. He hasn't come to condemn you, but He's come to save you. So you're reminded when you see the cross. Acts 5:31, the Bible says, "In Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give Him repentance to Israel for the forgiveness of sin." He's a prince, all right. As I said last week, they put the signs out, "Let Jesus come again, we'll kill Him again." I promise you, when He comes again, we'll never be able to lay a finger on Him. He's not coming to die on a cross again. He's coming to reign King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's going to set up His throne. What a day that's going to be for the people of God. Amen. When that day comes, amen, it's going to be a wonderful time. And for you that really don't know, you probably heard the Scripture, and I'm going to give it to you again. One that most preachers quote, especially when they first come into the ministry, they quote this a lot. And when I was in the ministry for a little while, I quoted it a while. And now that I've been in it a long time, I'm still quoting the same Scripture. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's been misquoted many times. A lot of people like to say, shall not. But the Bible says, should not. There's a place there that if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to die in your sins and hell will be your home. It won't make no difference that your children are saved. It won't make no difference that your husband's saved or your wife is saved or your mommy and daddies are saved or your aunts and uncles and your cousins are all saved. We're going to stand before God for ourselves and not another. I said we're going to stand before God for ourselves and not another. Brother Rudy, I'll never stand in judgment and answer for a thing you've ever done. I'll never have to answer for a deal you've ever made. I'll never have to answer for a word you've ever said, but I will have to answer for me. I'll have to answer for the deeds that's been done in this body, whether they be good or whether they'll be evil. God's had His eyes on me all the time, and He's got His eyes on you. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're going down. He knows where you stand right now. I've been praying for many of you. A lot of you have got storms coming in your life. A lot of things happening in your life. But I promise you, before the storm ever came, God already knew the end result of it. What you don't know right now, God already knows the answer to. He just wants to see if you're going to be faithful. Be faithful. Number two, the cross doesn't just remind them. Remind us of what the sacrifice was, but it also shames us. It shames us. When I do wrong, guess who's the first to know it? No, it wasn't Greg. It wasn't Brother Greg. It was me. As soon as it happened, I knew I was the one. Why? Because He, the Holy Spirit that lives within me, says, "Hey, that was wrong. You need to make that right now." The Bible says, not let the sun go down upon your wrath. That's talking about sin. We all fail God daily. We come short daily. Brother Earl, I come short every single day of my life. And when I lay down at night, I lay down and I talk with the Lord and I say, "Lord, if there's anything in my life that has caused a separation in any way between me and You, Lord, would You forgive me?" I like what little John said over there in the second chapter. He said, "My little children, I write unto thee that if thou sin, thou have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is just and faithful to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." He's talking about saved people. Brother Brian, I fail God every day, don't you? I made mistakes this week. I'm sure you made them this week. I wasn't looking, but God was. He's looking when I made my mistakes. As soon as it happened, I'm glad the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Hey!" I thought, yep, that was me. Lord, I'm sorry. I should have done better than that. And if you'll listen with the spiritual ears, the Holy Spirit will lead you in all ways of truth and righteousness. So not only does the cross, you know, speak to us this way, it reminds us. And it shames us. So when you pass a church house, you know, I've heard people say that a lot of the old timers, they'd pass a church house, be driving down the road. When they get close to the church house, they take their hat off, drive by the church, and then put their hat back on. You don't hear that no more. We got a little church down the valley here that me and Ravonda cleans once a week, and we've been doing it for years. And when I go on that property and I'm mowing the yard and I'm weed eating and doing different things to make the yard look just right for the church, there's a lot of time I won't even spit on the property. Listen to me. I won't even spit on the property. Why? That's holy ground, amen? That's God's place right there. I want to reverence that place. I'm reminded when I see the cross, when I see that symbolism of what a church is really all about, it pricks my heart, and I want to be respectful in every single way. How about you? You know, we tell people all the time that, you know, please, when you go down to eat, don't bring any food up into the sanctuary. Don't bring any drinks into the sanctuary. Why? Because we want to reverence this place for God. God's allowed us to have a beautiful fellowship hall downstairs. That's where we go and we eat and we fellowship and do those things. But let's reverence the sanctuary of God. And let's lift Him up. Let's be respectful. I'm from the old school. I won't walk into a church house with my cap on. I like to take my cap off when I come. My daddy taught me better than that. When I come into a church house, when I was a child, if I'd have had a cap on my head, he'd have slapped it off of my head while he slapped the back of my head and said, "Boy, what are you doing?" That's from the old school. I'm reminded of what it's all about. Church, I've got to tell you today that as we as a people of God have got to be reminded, we've got to start somewhere. We got to stop letting down the standard, saying anything goes is all right. Anything goes is not all right. Amen. So the cross, when we see it, does shame us. In Psalms 44, verse 15, he says, "My confession is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me." Because we're reminded. We're reminded what it's all about. I hope this week when you go down the road somewhere and you see a church house, you're reminded. When you see the cross, you're reminded. You think about it every single time. I'm driving down 81. There stands that big old cross. You remember the tent revival we had? We went to this year? There's a big old cross out there by the interstate. When I drive by that, I'm reminded of what the Lord's done for me. Amen. I drive through West Virginia. They got three crosses on a hillside. Everywhere you, about every 20 miles, there's three crosses. Three crosses. Three crosses. Wonder why somebody did that. They wanted us to remember the price that had been paid. It took a lot of work for somebody to commit to put up those kind of crosses. I ain't talking about these little bitty crosses like in this flower pot. I'm talking about crosses that's probably 70, 80 feet high and 40 feet wide. And they went to the effort and the expense to put them up. Why? To remind us of the price that's been paid. Amen. We need to be that kind of symbolism that the world sees Christ living in us. When they look at us, they ought to say, "That is a Christian." Or they say, "If that's a Christian, I don't want to be one." Heaven help us if we get that kind of testimony. Proverbs 13:18, the Bible says, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instructions, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." Listen, sinner friend, your day is running out. Your time is running out. God's keeping record every time He sent a message your way, every time He's reminded you, every time He sent somebody to speak to you and help encourage you and show you the way. God is keeping a record of every bit of that. And one day after a while, the mercy door is going to be shut. And we're going to stand before God one day, and the books are going to be open. And then the Bible says there's going to be another book open, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're going to be judged out of things that are wrote in them books. And when He looks at that book and He can't find your name, He's going to look right at you and say, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you." I don't know about all that screaming, preacher. Okay, let me put it in an easier way if you want it this way. He's going to look right at you and say, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you." That's not screaming at you. That's not hollering at you. I'm telling you the truth this morning. If it was my own daddy and he was lost without God, one day he's going to stand before God, Brother Scott. And they're going to look down through the book. And they're going to look while he stands there in front of the whole world. And if he's never been saved, they're going to look at him and say, "We can't find your name here. But I went to Vickers Chapel. I give money. I helped fix food. I was there every time the preacher needed me. I done things that nobody else knowed about. I tried to be a blessing. I love my family. I encouraged them to go to church. I even went to church with them. Surely my name's in that book. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." That's the way it's going to be. Church, we have got so desensitized to this right here that it don't mean nothing no more. Somehow in our thinking, in our minds, that we think that this is sort of a fairy tale. Why do we come to church? I come to warn you this morning. If you're going to think about the cross, think about what He's done for us. The world has made this simple a week before the world. You see rock singers having crosses around their neck. You see them in their concerts and they're singing this demon music, and they got crosses hanging everywhere and demons around crosses and everything. The devil's got a counterfeit for everything that God tries to do. The devil will tell you it's okay to live any way you want to live. Wear a little cross around your neck and you'll be okay. If you think about what the cross was, as a place of death. It wasn't a nice carved out cross like that one right there. But we sing a song that talks about the old rugged cross. I think about the splinters and the wood that stuck out on it and how rough it was. And they took my Savior's marred body and hung it on that cross. And as they hung it on that cross there, He laid Him down there. And they drove the spikes through His hands and His feet. And He never mumbled a word but handed them out. Why? Because He was thinking of me when He stuck His hand out. And no doubt He thought, "Drive that nail right there because Gary needs that. He's got to have a way." And then He reached the other one out. And He said, "Drive that one there because Brother Mark needs a way." And let me tell you what, God has made a way for you and I. We need not to forget about the symbol and what it really means. It's okay to love a ball team. It's okay to love a certain type of clothing. It's okay to represent. And that's all good and fun. And we have a lot of fun here talking about that. We joke and go on, and it's wonderful. And it's okay and good, clean fun. But let's get down to brass tacks, church, this morning. Let's put all that aside. Without the cross of Calvary, you'll die and go to hell if you don't go through the cross. I'm telling you this morning, whoever you are, hell is enlarging its borders right now. Every time you say no, it gets a little bigger because it's making room for you. God has led me in this message this morning in a way I never even thought I was going to go this morning. I'm going completely opposite of what I thought we were going. But I'm telling you that hell is enlarging at this very moment as I speak to you. It's making room. It's making room. just for you. Jesus said it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. I'm not trying to preach to you a God that's going to strike you dead at any moment. He loves you. He sent the best that heaven had just for you. And so as we're reminded of the price that has been paid, send a friend, please, before it's too late, consider your life. Consider what God wants for your life. He said, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. His burdens are easy. This morning, you need to think about your life. It's wonderful to, like I said, to have symbolism and support these things. If you love football, wonderful. But don't make it your God. Don't make it to where that's all you think about. Let me tell you this morning, you're going to have to face this, good or bad. We're going to stand before God one day, and He could be today. You Christians that are here and you're living in sin, you need to get out of that mess. You're reminded that you're to live holy and clean before God. He didn't call us to live an ill repute of a life, but He called us to live a clean and pure and holy life. We're reminded, church. Are you reminded this morning? There's a fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins. Amen. It's flowing down to all of those that will accept it into their life. It don't cost you nothing but your life. All you got to do this morning is come and say, Lord, it's me. He's not wanting a big prayer. Matters of fact, when you flinch to get your seat, I believe the Holy Spirit right then moves in. But you have to come. You have to come. Can I get serious with you just a moment? There's people right now in this church standing on the threshold of eternity. And the decision you're about to make could seal your eternity forever. You may say, well, I've lived 50 years and I've never needed the Lord. I've done well. I've had a good job. I've had good health. God's been good. Bless me. What I need to do anything? They say how good God is. He's been good to me. I've got all I need. But you don't have Him. You've never asked Him into your life. Maybe you're a young person here and you've never made a decision for Christ. Everybody thinks you're saved, but really you know down deep in your heart, you're not. I'm telling you this morning, if I've ever been serious in my life, we've come to a serious moment right now. God may call you for the last time today. He said, my spirit may not always strive with a man, but every time He strives with you, it's mercy, and it's mercy, and it's mercy, and it's mercy. As Sister Kim comes this morning to play on the piano, let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.